Hey, everybody. A little bit of a rewind. I am backpacking in the wilderness somewhere in an undisclosed location in our beautiful country. So therefore, I'm not able to record for you every single day, but I'll be back in the saddle soon. So I wanted to re-air some of the top-rated episodes we've ever had. This is one of my favorite episodes ever. There are only two genders. One, two genders. You guys are going to enjoy this. It is evergreen, scientifically true, and you will get a kick out of it. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Get engaged, get involved. If you want a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe, give us a 5-star review, screenshot it, email us, first 15 to do so, win a copy of the MAGA Doctrine. Also, thank you to those of you that support the Charlie Kirk Show every week, every month. charliekirk.com/support allows us to speak freely outside of boycotts, outside of backlash, and outside of the left trying to destroy this program. charliekirk.com/support. You're going to love this episode. I'm probably enjoying a lake in the backcountry of our beautiful country, so I hope you get something out of this and this blesses you. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Every once in a while, I find myself talking about this on college campuses. I go to many different universities, and I say something that I never thought was controversial. I say something that I never thought would receive any sort of feedback or blowback. I actually have a shirt that says, "There are only two genders." You can get that shirt at charliekirk.com so that you can wear what you believe. However, there's just this new video out there that has gone totally viral. And I love when the left becomes a parody of themselves, because if I was actually trying to create a Monty Python skit or an SNL skit making fun of the Democratic Socialists of America, it would be this very clip. So the Democrat Socialists of America had a gathering of comrades. Now, I'm not just calling them comrades as a pejorative or as an insult. They actually called each other comrades throughout this entire gathering, where there was a certain individual. Now, I don't want to assume this person's gender, right? Because that would be very undemocratic socialist of me. Where this person, now, are we allowed to assume species? Is that okay? Can we assume someone's species? So this homo sapien, and then I will assume this person's gender. He was getting very upset because the room had too much back chatter. There was too much whispering. He called this sensory overload. So he said, oh, I'm sorry, that's right. I'm assuming the species. I'm assuming the gender. So we assume that he said the following, something along the lines of, I have sensory overload. Can we please stop with all the noise? And if you actually watch the video, if you listen to the audio, there's no applause. So the room, they do this thing where they shake their hands, because if you applaud, it's not fair to deaf people. No, I'm actually being totally serious, that they don't applaud at these gatherings, so they do the shaking of the hands. How is this not offensive to blind people? I don't understand. So they have to find something else. So next time they're going to have to do something where they poke each other. They're going to have to jab each other in the rib. They have to just hit each other. How much they love it. They do this thing with the hands. They're going to make it rain. I'm not kidding. Actually, if you watch the video, they all, you know, all these people agree by doing the hands thing. It's kind of like the old Ricky Bobby thing. I'm not really sure what to do with my hands. Talladega Nights reference. Okay. So, but then this individual gets interrupted by someone who can only assume to be a man who wants to be a woman. And says something along the lines of, can we use, please not use gendered language? He's very, very triggered. Let's play the sound of this interaction. Again, this is the Democrat Socialists of America, DSA. They're gathering in Atlanta, Georgia.
Quick point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Guys, first of all, James Jackson, Sacramento, he, him. I just want to say, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum? I'm one of the people who's very, very prone to sensory overload. There's a lot of whispering and chatter going on. It's making it very difficult for me to focus.
Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Please do not use gendered language to address everyone.
Okay. A lot of material there. So it continues on. I mean, you could watch the clip in the feed of their entire meeting. They call each other comrades. They do all sorts of wonderful, brilliant stuff. For those of you that are listening that are not currently in high school and currently on college campuses, this is actually the norm. This kind of fringe ideology is now becoming mainstream. And this goes back to the thesis that we have at Turning Point USA, tpusa.com, that whatever happens on college campuses will soon happen in corporate boardrooms and inevitably the halls of Congress. So let's kind of dissect a little further the party platform of the Democrat Socialists of America. They say, quote, "We call for the end of all anti-gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender, GLBTQ, restrictions in law and the workplace, the repeal of all sodomy laws, and the legalization of same-sex marriage. We call on all schools to adopt policies and procedures to address and prevent student violence and ban discrimination against GLBTQ people throughout the education system. We call for a federal ban on all forms of job discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. And finally, we are committed to confronting the heterosexism." That's a new term. I learned so much from the left. I learned that how offended they can be at things that make sense. And so for those of you wondering, the acronym is GLBTQ. I think that means gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and queer, or questioning queer. Questioning queer. Okay, so let me just start with this. I had a phenomenal conversation with a couple of my dear friends who are gay. And they brought up a point to me that I actually never thought of, which is, what does being transgender have to do with being gay? And why are they lumped into kind of one bucket? Questioning your gender identity is something completely separate than your own sexual preference in who you want to mate with or who you want to associate with. They're two totally different things. And so these two gay men who are conservative libertarians said they're so sick and tired of being lumped into one bucket. In fact, there is a movement of feminists, and some of these feminists are lesbians, and J.K. Rowling is part of this movement. For those that know who don't know who J.K. Rowling is, all I can say is Harry Potter. She wrote Harry Potter, one of the most successful authors of all time. She's part of a feminist movement that is pushing back against the growing transgender movement, saying that it's ruining women's sports, so on and so forth. And we're actually going to, in a little bit, dive into actually some of the public policy implications of where all this comes from. So we start kind of making fun of the Democrat Socialists of America platform, and you're going to see how deathly serious this kind of ideology quickly becomes.
Whether you're working from home or on your fitness, you want to know what you're listening to is actually what you want to be listening to. Like the Charlie Kirk Show, not some person in the background watching the Rachel Maddow Show. That would be really bad. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds and hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know that Raycon start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and that they sound just as amazing, as other top audio brands you know. Mr. Producer is using his Raycon earbuds right now, and he loves them. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are the best ones yet. With 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and more compact design, it gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable. They're perfect for conference calls or for binging podcasts, like the Charlie Kirk Show. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet. No dangling wires or stems to distract anyone during video calls. Pick up a pair and see what the hype is all about. Now is the time to get the best offer out there. 15% off, basically free money. BuyRaycon.com/Kirk. That's BuyRaycon.com/Kirk for 15% off. BuyRaycon.com/Kirk.
And so again, I don't understand. Maybe someone can explain it to me, but probably not, because it comes from the far left. So there's no rationing. There's no rationality. There's no actual way to understand this. What someone who is transgender, so a man who thinks he's a woman, has to do with a woman who knows she's a woman who likes other women. I don't understand why those two things are looped into the same acronym, except for the fact that they're trying to build broad-based coalitions. And for all my LGBT friends or GLBTQ friends, all my gay and lesbian friends out there, let's just put it that way, I encourage you to push back against being lumped into the same sentence, same acronym as transgender people. And so gender pronouns. So I say there are two genders. Gender and sex are directly related. We're going to build out that argument in just a second. But currently, according to the left, there are 112 genders. Now, this is updated because the last time I did a speech on gender identity, there are 98 genders. So they found more. It's kind of like they do archaeological studies, I guess. They're trying to like excavate to find if there's new genders. I guess if someone just says, I'm something else, I guess I am that thing. So Facebook, publicly traded company, officially recognizes, get this, 71 genders. Can we just be very clear? There are two genders, male and female. That's it, okay? That's it. If you think you're something else, you have the right and freedom to do that, but that doesn't mean that you are. Just because you believe you are something does not mean you are actually something. There is some incontrovertible, irrefutable truth. We used to call this science, and now we call this science fiction. So here are some of the most ridiculous, widely accepted genders on the left that Facebook recognizes. None of this, I have to put a disclaimer, none of this is comedy. None of this is parody. This is what the left believes. The first of which, glass gender. A gender that is very sensitive and fragile. Okay. Heliogender, a gender that is warm and burning. This sounds like a dating website. This doesn't sound like genders. This sounds like personal preferences. It sounds like a horoscope. Kyle gender, or Kyle gender? Sile gender? C-A-E-L gender. Okay. A gender which shares qualities with outer space. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. I'm offending Kyle genders. A gender which shares qualities with outer space. Or has the aesthetic of space, stars, nebulas, etc. An extraterrestrial gender is what I would call that. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Apkonsung gender. Am I saying that right? Again, this is not comedy. I shouldn't make fun of people who think they're from outer space. Apkonsung gender. Apkonsung gender. Okay. A gender where you know what it isn't, but not what it is. The gender is hiding itself from you. No, again, I'm reading this word for word. I'm not making any of this stuff up. I understand. I'm being deathly serious. The only way I have to react with this tragedy is comedy. It's this wonderful Shakespearean dilemma that the only way I could possibly react to this is with comedy. You know what comedy is? It's tragedy plus time. This is a tragedy. I've given it 30 seconds. Now I'm making fun of it. So I just want to make myself perfectly clear. I'm not anti-trans. I've met people that are transgender. I have sympathy for them. I don't consider people who are Apkonsung gender to be engaging in gender, not engaging, but to have gender dysphoria, or Kyle gender, which again is a gender which shares qualities of outer space or has the aesthetic of stars, space stars, or nebulas. Again, this is not The Onion. This is not parody, not Comedy Central, SNL. This is the left. Okay, so since you have all these genders, with this many genders comes a need for specific gender pronouns. So in the video, let's actually play the video again, because there's just so much beauty in this video. By beauty, I mean tragedy, because it shows everything that the American left has become. And this video right here is the harbinger of things to come. Why? They are going to devour themselves. And they start screaming at each other and having sensory overload, using gendered language. Point of personal privilege. That's it. Instead of just saying, hey, I want to say something. Or, hey, they raise their hand. They say, point of personal privilege. Such interesting language. By the way, language does actually matter. So as much as we make fun of these things, words matter. Words carry weight. And the left is trying to change our complete language. They're trying. This is a fundamental recalibration of vocabulary and societal norms that have built a functioning and civil society. And so let's play the clip again. Let's play the clip one more time so we can listen to it.
Quick point of personal privilege. Yes. Guys, first of all, James Jackson, Sacramento, he, him. I just want to say, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum? I'm one of the people who's very, very prone to sensory overload. There's a lot of whispering and chatter going on. It's making it very difficult for me to focus.
Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Please do not use gendered language to address everyone.
Okay, you might have missed it, but right towards the beginning, the offended individual, which we're assuming is a homo sapien and assuming is a male. And it's really important. Just okay, you might not understand the joke, but just so you understand, on a college campus, you can't assume somebody's gender. So you have to actually preface yourself with the correct gender pronouns. And so I know it might seem that I'm being facetious or sarcastic. I'm sort of being sarcastic in some ways, but this is deathly serious. So, for example, from the University of Wisconsin, instead of using he, him, or she, her, you have to use non-gendered pronouns or options. So, for example, there are five different variations of this. So instead of saying she, her, her, hers, herself, you would say something such as z, zem, zer, zers, and zemself, which is ungendered language. I'm making none of this up. Or you say z, zem, her, her, hers, herself. Or v, ver, vis, verself. Again, this is what the left is instituting at the University of Wisconsin. Okay, so look, there are only two genders. It's very simple. Gender and sex are directly interconnected and directly related. The left makes the argument that gender and sex are two separate things. That sex is your chromosomal structure, and gender is a societal norm. You get to choose your gender, and your sex is given to you at birth. Those of us that appreciate science understand that gender and sex are directly related. So the chromosomal argument is very simple. You have XX, which is a female, XY, which is a male. So I'm kind of stammering for words because this shouldn't really be a discussion. This is the rule. The exception to the rule are people that are intersex. Intersex is a minority of a minority. In America, it's super rare. Intersex are people that are born with both reproductive organs, both male and female reproductive organs, and they are exception to the rule. What happens when you have an exception is you have a rule. The rule is you have a chromosomal structure that is XX or XY. You fall into one of those categories. This is basic natural science. And in America, just so you understand how rare it is, just 0.05% or 1 in 2,000 people are born intersex. This is the exception to the truth that there are only two genders. Anything beyond that is an aberration, including the hundreds of genders the left forces us to abide by, such as, just for a recap, glass gender, heliogender, cal gender, and apkonsung gender. I can't pronounce this. I'm sorry. These policies are being pushed most notably on college campuses. So this goes back to our thesis, and I'm going to give you some examples of this, is that whatever happens on college campuses will soon happen in corporate boardrooms, which will then happen in the halls of Congress. So it goes from campus to boardrooms to Congress. So these policies are now being implemented on basically every single college campus across the country. Colorado State University, CSU, which I'll refer to it as, they have an inclusive language guide, which outlines the school's official stance on what language is and is not appropriate to use at their university. So word and phrases you have to avoid are he and she, because that's offensive, because you're assuming someone's gender. Fresh man, because you're using a patriarchal term or a male term. Ladies and gentlemen, can't use that, because what if someone is not a lady or a gentleman? What if they are kaleogender, which is an extraterrestrial? You cannot use the term homosexual. I don't know why. Mr., Miss, or Mrs., they suggest replacing the title with MX, so mix, mix. Male or female, you cannot say you guys. You cannot say policeman, fireman, chairman, etc. And you can definitely not use the term grandfathered in. This is at Colorado State University. This is a state college that your taxpayer dollars are going to, that this absurdity is happening. You understand this is fascist speech police? If you're listening to this, this is fascist speech police. So, for example, you have to say, oh, there's a crime. Let's call the policeman. Instead, all of a sudden, wrong, I'm going to write you up. I'm going to have someone come after you. Okay, I'm sorry. We'll call the fireman because there's a fire. Wrong, you can't say that. You have to say fire person. American University, right outside of Washington, D.C., actually in Washington, D.C. American University is seeking to mandate language to be used by faculty when referring to students. Faculty and staff members can be investigated for failure to respect gender identity through its bias reporting system. Now remember, this is what got Jordan Peterson kind of to be so notorious. Like, notorious is the wrong term, because notorious means bad. I mean, so actually what got him so popular, so let me correct myself. It was what got him to be so, it really is what built his popularity and his virality, is when Canada, through a section in the Human Rights Code, tried to, by force, make Jordan Peterson use certain gender pronouns. So instead of using force, here's the really important thing. I just have to make this kind of side note, that if I met someone who was transgender and they said, Charlie, I identify as a woman and I would like you to call me this name or call me by this pronoun. I would do that because that's what mutual respect is. And how do we know that civil society would do this? Because people ask us to call them something different all the time. Hey, can you stop calling me this nickname, or can you stop calling me this? And generally, as a civil society, we've come to a way to intermediate those differences about government rules. So I'll give you a great example. I know a couple of these people are listening to the podcast, and so they're going to be smiling when they listen to this. I can't stand being called Chuck. I hate it. Growing up, I was called Chuck far too often. So anytime anyone would call me Chuck, I'd say, please don't call me Chuck. And it faded down, except for a group of like six of my friends who knew it bothered me so much. Every time they see me, they say, hey, Chuck. Hey, Chuck. For those of you that don't know, Chuck is a way that many people name Charlie. It's a nickname for someone with the name of Charlie. And so basically, no one calls me Chuck, and it really, really irritates me, except my six friends who do it to irritate me, and I don't really care. But that's a really basic example of how I intermediated the differences through civil dialogue, and I said, please don't call me that. I would prefer if you don't call me that. And people generally will respect the lines that you draw. The same can be said for the transgender argument. Why can't we just have civil dialogue and have common respect for each other, where transgender people would be able to go to me and say, please call me this, this, and this. Instead, these universities like American University or Colorado State University, through soft fascism, are putting in huge repercussions and potential consequences if you dare violate this kind of language. Go to the University of California, Berkeley. I say, quote, this is from the Associated Press, there will be no manholes in Berkeley, California. City workers will now drop into, quote, maintenance holes. Instead, nothing will be, quote, man-made in the liberal city, but instead, human-made. And students at the University of California, Berkeley will join collegiate Greek system residences rather than fraternities and sororities. Berkeley is supposed to be the beacon of free speech, yet now they're limiting the speech of anyone who wants to use traditional language like he or she, him or hers. Again, University of California, Berkeley, instead of mitigating differences as civil people do, feels as if they have to recalibrate our entire language. Harvard University, which is sometimes considered to be the best university in America, I will push back against that, but some people consider it. Harvard suppresses freedom of association in the name of gender equality. So, quote, Harvard students who are members of single gender clubs are barred from leading campus groups or becoming captains of sports teams. The school also refuses to endorse the students for prestigious fellowships, including the Rhodes and Marshall scholarships. So what they're saying, Harvard University is saying right here, is if you dare go after single gender clubs, if you go join an all men's fraternity or an all women's sorority or an all men's group, you can no longer become a Rhodes or Marshall scholar. You cannot get a prestigious fellowship. I thought the whole idea is not to discriminate against people. They're literally discriminating against people if they decide to go into a group that is based on singular gender identity. The left is raising the cost of college. This is really interesting. As the cost of college is rising dramatically, it costs more and more to attend college. So the left is raising the cost of attending college while simultaneously railing against the cost of higher education. So, for example, American University is set to spend $121 million on, quote, diversity initiatives. So while they're complaining that the cost of college is going up so dramatically, so, hey, American University, how about instead of spending $121 million on diversity initiatives, you only spend $20 million and you spend that $100 million on tuition aid for your students that are going into debt to go study garbage at your university. Columbia University is looking to spend an extra $100 million. This is stunning. On diversity and inclusion initiatives over the coming year. And so I addressed all this kind of mounting gender insanity on Fox and Friends with my good friend Pete Hegseth. I want to cut to a clip of this where I talk, and I kind of talk to some of the older audience where I say, you might be so surprised to hear this. Cut the tape.
I want your viewers to understand this, though. This is growing. This sort of gendered awareness language is now in corporate America. It is on basically every college campus across the country, including many that are considered mainstream. This is not stopping. This is not just segregated and secluded to the radicals and the Democrat socialists. This will soon be in Congress. And this sort of ideology is growing quickly in America. We must do everything we can to stop it.
So as you heard there, at Turning Point USA, we have been fighting this for years, and we have been signaling the alarm and trying to pull as many fire alarms as we can along the way. We're the ones that are just, hey, there's something really nutty going on here, and be careful, because students are believing it, and now they're entering into functioning society. And now functioning society is changing, and really thoughtful people are starting to take notice. So one of my favorite writers, I do not agree with her all the time, but my goodness, God gave her the gift of the pen. She is an incredible writer. unbelievable writer is Peggy Noonan. And just the way she's able to craft sentences and paragraphs together, it's poetry. She's one of the most gifted writers in American politics. I really believe that. And I encourage all of you to check out this piece in the Wall Street Journal. And I'm going to butcher some pronunciation here, so I apologize. Essentially, what were Robespierre's pronouns? And it talks about how the French Revolution was led by sociopaths who politicized language, much like today's Jacobins. I'm not going to read the whole piece, but the essence of the piece kind of shows that the French Revolution tried to co-opt language, and the failures of the French Revolution, which was rooted in the tyranny of the minority and mob rule, similar to today's left-wing mob. So I am going to read one paragraph from this piece, which I think is really important. Peggy Noonan says this: "The French Revolution was largely run by sociopaths. One, Robespierre, the messianic schoolmaster, quote, messianic schoolmaster, saw it as an opportunity for the moral instruction of the nation. Everything would be politicized. No part of the citizen's life left untouched. As man was governed by an empire of images, in the words of a Jacobin intellectual, the new regime would provide new images to shape new thoughts. There would be pageants and new names for things. They would change time itself." This is actually what the French Revolution wanted to do. They wanted to change time. "The first year of the new republic was no longer 1792. It was year one. To detach farmers from their superstitions, their Gregorian calendar, you know, the calendar that built Western civilization, and its saint days, you know, the Judeo-Christian construct, they would rename the months. The first month would be in the fall, named for the harvest. There would be no more weeks, just a 3 10-day periods of each month." I am not kidding. The left is going to try to redo our calendar. I actually think Peggy Noonan is onto something here. But look, the French Revolution was built by narcissistic sociopaths that try to deconstruct everything around civilizing and functioning society. Now understand, the left will always operate in patterns. Human beings operate in patterns, and radical far left-wing movements operate in patterns. Let me give you three examples. Every single time the left takes over power in a culture or in a country, the first thing they do is try to eliminate all the history. The best example of this is the Chinese Revolution. When they went through the Cultural Revolution, the first thing they did was tear down as many statues and burn as much history of Confucius, of Ming, of the Xuzhong dynasty, you name it. They burnt down to the ground every piece of Chinese history they could possibly find. Same in the Russian Revolution, same in the Cuban Revolution, same in all these kind of communist Marxist revolutions, and same, of course, now back in the French Revolution. And isn't that exactly what the left in America is trying to do right now? They're trying to get rid of Betsy Ross. They're trying to kneel during the national anthem. They're trying to call the flag a symbol of white supremacy. They're trying to get rid of certain textbooks. They're trying to change marriage. They're trying to change institutions that work. The left will always operate in systems of patterns. Now, why do they want to destroy history? Well, because any sort of reflection of history actually might make human beings question what is currently going on. So, in the French Revolution, as Peggy Noonan correctly points out, they want to start year one. There is no history before us. There's nothing important that's ever happened. We're the most important thing on earth. Boy, that is the lack of humility. That is the lack of gratitude. I think one of the greatest thinkers in Western civilization was the Roman consul Cicero. One of my favorite quotes that he had, and I'm paraphrasing, we'll find the exact quote, where he said, "The greatest virtue is gratitude, which all the others stem from." And we've talked about this on the Charlie Kirk Show before, and this is something that we do a lot on the Charlie Kirk Show, is we talk about the great thinkers that built Western civilization, like Cicero, a little bit like Plato, but some of his stuff that he wrote was garbage, like Aristotle, like Socrates, like Augustine, like Aquinas, like Hume, like Locke. But Cicero talked about, you must have gratitude for what came before you. You must be thankful for what you have. And out of that, all other virtues stem from there. Do you think the American left is thankful? Do you think the Democrat Socialists of America are thankful to be in America? Do you think the Democrat Socialists of America have gratitude, overpouring gratitude to be an American citizen? The answer is of course not. They're driven by the opposite of gratitude, which is unthankfulness. Or the opposite of gratitude is envy. The opposite of gratitude is envy, or is destruction. They want to tear down systems that work. That's why they want to destroy what they call gendered language. That's why they want to destroy institutions that have actually proven to work. Now, if there are certain issues with those institutions, we should address them rationally, find those issues, and then pull them out in a way that would work collaboratively for a functioning civil society. The left is a force of destruction. No matter what the left touches, they will destroy. A great example of this is the Boy Scouts of America. As soon as the left started to infiltrate the Boy Scouts of America, it went down. I have a lot of authority to talk on this topic because I'm an Eagle Scout. Less than 1% of all people that enters Boy Scouts of America will end up being Eagle Scouts. I worked my tail off to get my Eagle Scout. I got my merit badges required. I'm so proud that I became an Eagle Scout. However, for future generations, I don't think I can encourage those generations to go into the Boy Scouts of America. They have destroyed the Boy Scouts of America. Why? Because they've allowed girls into the Boy Scouts. You might say, well, Charlie, that's a pretty draconian, backwards way of thinking. There is so much value in single-sex education or single-sex experiences. I could tell you, when I was at Boy Scout camp, the fact that it was only boys and only men made you more likely to take risks, less likely to be embarrassed of failure, and be able to establish fraternity with people that you have for the rest of your life. There are multiple studies that show that discomfort and discord and uncomfortability comes from mixing men and women at early ages, especially during formative experiences. So, for example, when you're trying to climb a rope at Boy Scout camp and you fall, you're going to be 10 times more embarrassed if there's a girl looking at you doing that. Social psychologists will agree with this. If it's all men, you'll be embarrassed, but you'll be embarrassed for a different reason. We embarrassed not because you disproved in front of the lady, but instead you want to be the biggest man there and you want to get to the top. These sorts of experiences are now being diluted and deteriorated because the left has taken over the Boy Scouts of America.
Look, I want to talk to you about internet freedom. Social media companies get to decide what content is suitable for the sensitive snowflakes among us and censor whatever they don't like. Shouldn't you be the one to decide what you want to read or watch, not them? There's one thing you can control, their access to your data, and that's why I use ExpressVPN. You see, the problem with big tech companies is that they not only do they censor what you read, they track what you do online. They track what you're searching for, the videos you watch, and everything that you click. They use this data to serve you ads and can match your activity to your offline identity using your device's unique IP address. That's exactly why I use ExpressVPN. I use ExpressVPN to protect myself from the Orwellian tech companies that want to attack your computer or your device. These tech companies can't see my IP address at all. Sorry, can't see it. My identity is masked and anonymized by a secure VPN server. Plus, ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from hackers and the bad guys on the internet. Does that sound complicated? It's not, I promise. ExpressVPN software takes just 1 minute to set up on your computer or phone. You tap one button and you're protected. So why give these tech companies a free license to know everything about you, and then you turn around and sell off all your information? It's time to take back your privacy at expressvpn.com/Charlie by visiting my special link. You get 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. Who doesn't like to save money, right? It's expressvpn.com/Charlie, ExpressVPN.com/Charlie, expressvpn.com/Charlie.
The left destroys everything that it touches. Can anyone tell me one thing the left has ever built? The left only destroys. The left only deconstructs. They've destroyed Venezuela. They've destroyed most of Western Europe. They're trying to destroy the rest of Europe. They've destroyed every civilization, every culture they've ever come in touch with. And now that's what they're trying to do here. The Democrat Socialists of America are a direct extension of Rousseauian and Marxist philosophy that has been tried time and time again. The difference with the Democrat Socialists of America, this is really important that if you're listening to this and you're over the age of 40, this is a different struggle with Marxism than the struggle of Marxism that we experienced in the 70s and 80s. Soviet Marxism was economic Marxism, not cultural Marxism. This is a very profound point. The Soviet model of Marxism, while they were atheist in nature and secularist, they did not destroy the Russian Orthodox Church. In fact, they understood that they can keep it kind of on the periphery as long as they don't get too strong and they don't get too powerful. They can still exist. The Russian-Soviet model had unbelievable amount of flaws. They ignored Gramsci's treatise, which was written in the late 1920s, early 1930s. Gramsci was an Italian. He was an Italian Marxist who argued that cultural Marxism, that is, Marxists should assume a cultural revolution, that the economic argument was not enough for the Marxists, that the idea of the bourgeoisie versus the proletariat, or the idea of the working class versus the business owners, was not enough. That instead there must be a cultural revolution, which means redefining genders and gender norms. You actually go way back to a thinker that argued that gender norms should be basically eliminated. Anyone? Plato. Plato went as far to say this. In the Republic, he actually argued that gender norms should be completely and totally eliminated. He said that the family should be demolished, that the government should essentially become the family. He said that women should have complete and total compatibility with men, and that gender was, he argued, to be. He didn't go as far to say that it was a social construct, but some people could look at Plato's teachings and look at the utopia he was trying to create and find a great deal of disagreement there. I'm much more Aristotelian, so just to build that out further, just so my language is more precise, I sympathize much more with Aristotle than with Plato. So to go back to what Peggy Noonan was saying, though, Peggy Noonan points in a singular paragraph that the left is an unstoppable force of destruction. They were in 1792 during the French Revolution. Now, mind you, there were two different revolutions, and these revolutions are still at war with each other. The French Revolution, which focused on equality and fraternity, and the American Revolution, which focused on liberty, e pluribus unum, and the rule of law. These two revolutions have two totally different philosophical fathers. The father of the French Revolution is Rousseau. The father of the American Revolution is Hume, Locke, and Smith. And they both had way different ways to view the world. And if you want to go all the way back to the Greek roots of it, yes, it is this struggle of Plato versus Aristotle. It is they totally disagreed with each other, not on everything, but on a lot of big things. And Aristotle is much more the father of Western society. Plato is much more the father of Rousseau, which led to Marx, which has led to some of the modern day cultural Marxists that we have today. And Peggy Noonan rightly points this out. To go back to one of my favorite thinkers ever in the history of Western civilization, the quote that I was paraphrasing, now we have the specific quote by Cicero. Remember, kind of quick trivia, Cicero was 1 year Roman consul, probably the best consul that Rome ever had. I believe he was Trump before Trump. He talked about making Rome great again. He argued that Rome cannot fight reckless and endless wars. He talked about how Rome was getting lazy and was getting fat and too happy. He warned against the downfall of Rome, and he said that Rome needed a resurgence. He limited himself to one term because consuls only served one term. That's back when Rome was a republic, not an empire. Cicero said this, "Gratitude is not only the greatest of all virtues, but the parent of all others." Said by Cicero, must we never forget the great teachings of Cicero. He was a best-selling author at the time, huge public speaker. Some could actually draw some parallels between Donald Trump, the celebrity, and Cicero, the celebrity. People actually traveled hundreds of miles to go see Cicero speak in Rome. And so to transition, this happens now in corporate boardrooms. And again, this goes to the thesis, college campuses feed to corporate boardrooms, which then feed the halls of Congress. So again, it goes one after the other after the other. So we've established Congress, now we go to corporate boardrooms. California law now, quote, requires publicly traded corporations headquartered in California to include at least one woman on their board of directors by the end of 2019 as part of an effort to close the gender gap in business. That doesn't have as much to do with kind of the prior argument, but why don't you just have competent people on your board of directors? I mean, what if we have competent, proficient, educated people, not just people under a certain gender conformity? What a concept. Furthermore, by the way, can I just pause? I thought there was no difference between men and women, so then why would they want women to sit on board of directors? If there's no difference between men and women, why does it matter? It's all the same, right? There's no difference between men and women, then does the pay gap actually exist? Their whole argument is that there is no difference. There's no biological difference between men and women. One of the big arguments of the left is that men and women are basically the same and gender is a social construct and men are really women and women are really men and we're all just one. But if that's really the case, then why is there a gender pay gap? Why does that actually exist? If there's no difference between testosterone and estrogen, then why would we need to close the pay gap? Is there a pay gap? Of course not. Everyone's equal, so it doesn't exist. Furthermore, by the end of July 2021, the law requires that, quote, a minimum of two women must sit on boards with five members, and there must be at least three women on boards with six or more members. Companies that fail to comply face fines up to $100,000 for the first violation and $300 for a second or subsequent violation. So what's really happening here is the state government of California is coming in and mandating how private businesses must structure their corporate governance. Forget running efficiently. Forget having the economic freedom. So here's what I don't understand. What if there's an all-woman board? Do men have to be on there too? Is that the way that the law is written? No. So you can have an all-women board, but you can't have an all-male board. That sounds like a double standard. If the left didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have standards at all. So let's pretend you have an all-male board. Couldn't you get around this by just asking half the board to identify as women? Wouldn't that count? Can you just say, hey, we actually don't want to add unqualified people. Again, I'm not saying women are unqualified, but let's just say your board is amazingly qualified and it's all men. Just say, hey, can half of you just identify as women for the when the California Business Association comes in? Again, this is another example of state government and government in general coming in and telling people how to run their businesses under the guise of equality. Where do these ideas come from? They come from college campuses. And where do college campuses lead to eventually? The United States Congress. So just right here and right now, this Congress, the fifth bill that they voted on, H.R. 5 was called the Equality Act. Boy, that sounds nice, doesn't it? Who could be against equality? Quick facts about the Equality Act, as nice as it sounds. I think approval ratings on the Equality Act was 68%. Is that right, Mr. Producer? 69%. Okay. House Democrats unanimously passed the Equality Act 236 to 173. Sounds simple enough. Democrats framed the Equality Act as a crusade in defense of the LGBT community. Again, explain to me what gay people have to do with people with gender dysphoria. I don't understand that. Now, mind you, let's just take a step back. For basically all of modern scientific history, like basically the last 100 years, people who are transgender were considered to be gender dysphoric by the medical community. Now we call those individuals transgender. But I want to make something very clear. They're equally as human. I'm not making fun of them. I'm not poking fun at them. And I'm simply cross-examining and poking fun at the absurdity of the left of this insane gender identity cyclone that they have perpetrated on our functioning civil society. So in reality, instead of it actually being a crusade in defense of LGBTQ people, it's really an attempt to criminalize traditional and religious beliefs about marriage. It also puts free speech and states' rights at unbelievable risk. We're going to build it out. So what is it? It's a bill. By the way, this passed the House of Representatives. This is not some goofy idea that was passed at the Democrat Socialists of America. So I need to understand the argument that we're making here. We started with Democrat Socialists of America, super radical, easy to make fun of that, right? Then we kind of took a step back and talked about the transgender argument and how insane these things have gotten on college campuses. Then we talked about corporate boardrooms and a little bit about the track record of the left. And now we're talking about how things are actually being passed in the halls of Congress that are unbelievably serious. So what is it? First of all, it's a bill that would add, quote, sexual orientation and, quote, gender identity as protected classes under federal civil rights law by amending the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Where the original Civil Rights Act 1964 actually furthered, this is important, furthered equality by ensuring that African Americans and people of all races had equal access to public accommodations and material goods, which of course is a phenomenal thing, something I totally support, the Equality Act would further inequality by penalizing everyday Americans for their beliefs about marriage and biological sex. So this is from the Heritage Foundation, terrific organization. The five groups that would be harmed by the Equality Act. Number one, workers, employees, and business owners. Quote, both workers and employers would be forced to obey speech and gender norms or else lose their jobs or be forced to close their business. Already florists, wedding planners, and cake shops, remember the lawsuit in Colorado, the Masterpiece Cake Shop, for instance, are implicated in certain states. Number two, medical professionals. The Equality Act would force hospitals, doctors, and insurers to pay for therapies and procedures against any moral objection. Again, this passed the House of Representatives, but with Democrat unanimous support and a couple abstentions, very few abstentions. For all those Blue Dog Democrats that voted for this, I'm sure this is a really pressing issue in rural America, right? I'm sure this is a really big pressing issue. Another example, Catholic hospitals that do so much good for the world, Catholic hospitals in California and New Jersey have been sued for declining to perform hysterectomies on otherwise healthy women who want to become male, essentially sex changes. A third Catholic hospital in Washington settled out of court when the ACLU sued them for declining to perform a double mastectomy on a gender dysphoric 16-year-old girl. And so, look, the left loves to use this as a specific example, but if we actually want to use this against them, this is what you call religious conscience. You have a religious conscience, you can abstain from being forced to do something. Do you know who sued and won on this issue? The Hobby Lobby family. We love the Green family. The Green family are terrific people. They sued and won against the federal government, against being forced to provide abortifacients that would violate their deeply held religious beliefs to give them to their employers. But mind you, again, this is how hard the left fights and how the right does not fight. And I'm not saying I encourage this. But you want to say how the left will actually be kind of in a conundrum? Why doesn't someone go to a, I don't know, a very Muslim-dominated neighborhood and make them perform something against the Quran? I actually support the Muslim individual and the Muslim shop owner or the Muslim doctor to not have to perform something that would violate their religious conscience. I don't know how the left would deal with that one. I'm just floating that out there. I don't know how the left would deal with that one. If someone came in to a Muslim bakery, and in fact, they would say, yeah, you have to make a cake for a same-sex couple. In fact, I believe there was a satirical video done by Steven Crowder on this very topic. Either James O'Keefe or Steven Crowder did this, and they refused service. But again, this is how hard the left fights that the right doesn't fight. The left files a lawsuit instantaneously. The right kind of ignores it. Again, I'm not supporting that. I don't believe in suing up the wazoo. I'm just showing it kind of how would the left actually treat that. It would be really interesting. This also affects parents and children. The Equality Act would put parental rights to make decisions about their children's medical treatment and education at total risk. It would normalize hormonal and surgical interventions for gender dysphoric children, as well as ideological education in schools and other public venues. Just a side note, just so you know, in the state of Oregon, did you know that you could get a taxpayer-funded sex change while you're under the age of 18 without parental consent? So you can get a sex change without notifying your parents and have other people pay for it? This is the left. 80 to 90% of children with gender dysphoria no longer feel distressed about their bodies after puberty. So that's just an interesting statistic put in there. Despite this powerful statistic, activists are still pushing radical protocol. Social transition as young as 4, puberty-blocking drugs as young as 9, cross-sex hormones as young as 14, and surgery by 18, or in some cases, even younger. I mean, I want to just kind of give a defense of Mario Lopez. Mario Lopez said something so not controversial on my friend Candace Owens' show, and he received such unbelievable backlash. I was personally very disappointed that Mario Lopez apologized. You cannot apologize to these people. This is a mob. This is a 1792 French Revolution mob. That's what this is. Do not kowtow to these people. You have to stand incontrovertible with truth. And when you say something that is not controversial, can we get exactly what Mario Lopez said? Let's play this sound. Let's actually play this sound. What Mario Lopez said. Hey, Candace, giving you some good shout out here. Let's play a Candace Owens show brought to you by our friends Prager University. Let's play the sound right now.
Look, I'm never one to tell anyone how to parent their kids, obviously. And I think if you come from
maybe
a place...
Maybe you should, though, because you seem to be doing something right.
Well, thanks. You know, and I would say if you come from a place of love, you really can't go wrong. But at the same time, my God, if you're 3 years old and you're saying you're feeling a certain way, or you think you're a boy or a girl, whatever the case may be, I just think it's dangerous as a parent to make that determination then, okay, well, then you're going to be a boy or a girl, whatever the case may be. And it's sort of alarming, and my gosh, I just think about the repercussions later on.
And so there you heard Mario Lopez being exceedingly polite and politically correct and diplomatic and saying something that shouldn't be controversial, such as, I don't know, don't let three-year-olds choose what gender they are. Look, children already live in a state of confusion. Children already live in a state of where they're trying to find their place in the world. They're trying to understand language. They're trying to understand bearings. It's a very big, very intimidating world. To also put the burden of them having to find self-identification when they're still trying to understand the language and the world that exists around them, I believe is wrong. This is wrong. And it shouldn't be controversial to call that out. And the fact that Mario Lopez received backlash for doing just that is reprehensible. Also under the Equality Act, it'll hurt women. Yes, women, the group that the left says that they are representing. Women are at a disadvantage in sex-specific sports and other activity. There are so many examples here. So the Equality Act would essentially cement these men who think they are women who are competing in women's sports. Men who think they are women should not be able to compete against women in female sports. Recently, transgender, so recently male who thinks he's a woman, weightlifter, Laurel Hubbard, who competed for New Zealand in men's weightlifting before the transition, won 2 golds and a silver in 3 of the women. I mean, seriously, have you no shame? Like, okay, I understand you have gender identity. I get that, okay? I really wish you sympathy. But do you really need to go run circles around women in women-only competition? You were born with more testosterone. And all of a sudden, you're winning gold medals. We're supposed to applaud you for this? Like, no, you're a coward. Here's why Laurel Hubbard is a coward. You have more testosterone. You competed in men's weightlifting. So that means you were probably, I don't know, power cleaning 345 pounds. And all of a sudden, you go to compete again. Of course, you're going to win gold medals in women's weightlifting. With Hubbard free to compete at next year's Tokyo Olympics, again, the left is going to destroy the Olympics. I love the Olympics. They're going to totally and completely destroy it. In the Tokyo Olympics, the 41-year-old has become a quote-unquote lightning rod for criticism. Yeah, I hope so. Of the International Olympic Committee, the IOC's guidelines for the inclusion of transgender athletes. How about this? Don't let people who are born with XY chromosomes compete against people who are born with XX chromosomes. That should be so obvious. When you're dealing with the left, you have to say things that are obvious and then are called controversial. In Connecticut, the state champion and runner-up in the 55-meter dash was a biological male who thought he was a woman in the process of transitioning to a female. Connecticut is one of 17 states that currently allows men who think they are women athletes to compete against the gender of their choosing, absent any restrictions. Coward! And you know what? Shame on the parents and shame on the school system for allowing this to happen. Young women deserve the opportunity to compete and pursue excellence outside of male bullies who think they are women, who want attention and achievement. And by the way, I guarantee you the state champion of a man who thinks he was a woman would not be able to be state champion as a man. I bet I could outrun you, and I'm not even that fast. In January, Rep. Ilhan Omar of Minnesota recommended that her state attorney general, Keith Ellison, again, who's under massive accusations for beating his girlfriend, we have 911 calls to show that. It's interesting how the left conveniently ignores that. Investigate USA Powerlifting for blocking biological males for competing in women's events. I'm standing up for women here. I believe that people who are born with XX chromosomes should be only people competing against each other with XX chromosomes. As the Daily Caller has reported, Omar referred to the idea that biological male athletes identifying as women have an unfair advantage over biological females as a myth. So this is the quote from Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who is also hates Israel and is anti-Semitic. Quote, the myth that trans women have a, quote, direct competitive advantage is not supported by medical science. Oh my gosh. And it continues to stoke fear and violence against one of the most at-risk communities in the world. She must be talking about Christians. Is she talking about Christians? Okay, she must not be talking about Christians. Or Jews. She must be talking about Jews. The Jews are under attack. I did not know that she's standing up for... Oh, she's not talking about Jews. She's talking about transgenders. You mean men who think they're women and women who think they're men. Okay. She wrote in a letter to Ellison, who ultimately responded that he had no jurisdiction over investigations into weightlifters. Well, thank you, Keith Ellison. Funny. Hey, Congresswoman, anti-Israel, anti-Jew woman. This is a lie. 3 professors, 2 in bioethics and 1 in physiology, recently authored a study entitled Trans Women in Elite Sports, Scientific and Ethical Considerations, concluded that trans women athletes hold an intolerable advantage over biological women. Is this really that big of a deal? I mean, okay, anyone watch Game of Thrones? Anyone watch Game of Thrones? Okay, I want you just to understand something. The guy protecting Cersei Lannister, what was his name? It was a Clegane, right? They called him what? The Mountain. If all of a sudden he thought he was a woman, and he went into, by the way, he's actually the world's strongest man. Just by a side note, in real life, the guy that was playing that is legitimately the world's strongest man. If Clegane, or even his brother, who's smaller, the Hound, decided to compete against women, Ilhan Omar says that this they don't have a advantage. The dude can, like, squat 2,000 pounds, and I'm not even kidding. It's insane. He's literally the world's strongest man. Man, because he's a man, because men have more testosterone and less estrogen. This is not difficult, Ilhan Omar. My goodness, you cannot make this stuff up. The left is an unstoppable force of destruction of civil society. And the media acts like this is perfectly permissible. Oh, yeah, that's just Ilhan being Ilhan. I guess that's what they say, right? Yeah, well, at least she's not hating on Jews today. Right, great. The author cites research demonstrating that healthy young men did not lose significant muscle mass or power when their circulating testosterones were reduced. So essentially this talks about the IOC guideline says that men who think they are women can compete against women if they take certain medication or certain injections that reduce their testosterone. It actually doesn't work according to this study. It goes on and on and on. So this is also a really important point. Sexual orientation and gender identity laws that open up sex-specific facilities like bathrooms, locker rooms, etc. to members of the opposite sex enable sexual assault. I mean, I thought there was a huge movement on college campuses to try to prevent sexual assault. Wait a second. When you have dormitories and you have bathrooms where men and women are showering together, do you think you're going to get more or less sexual assault in those kind of instances? I thought you're probably going to get more. You're probably going to get more sexual assault. Women deserve to be protected. Women deserve to be understood. Yes, women deserve to be heard. I'm not even being facetious. I believe that. And when women tell me that they don't want to be showering next to some creepy dude, and all of a sudden we're forcing this sort of forced showering, which the Equality Act would do. Do you know a lot of college campuses have bathrooms that are co-ed? I can't believe this. They have co-ed dormitory shower rooms. It's stunning to me. Boys having access to the girls' restroom and girls having access to the boys' restroom. Again, this goes back to the tyranny of the radical minority. We are pandering to a radical minority just for the sake of not offending a couple people that are a minority of a minority, and we're disenfranchising all of functioning civil society. This would also go after churches and faith nonprofits. Again, we're talking about the Equality Act here. Faith-based adoption agencies that seek one man and one woman as a mother and father have been shut down in Pennsylvania, Illinois, Massachusetts, New York, Illinois, and Washington, D.C. Churches that teach traditional values on marriage and sexuality can potentially be censured, fined, or shut down. Think about this. Under the Equality Act, the language of the Bible is potentially open to legal censure. Most importantly, the bill that prohibits the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 and providing a claim, defense, or basis for challenging such protections. Most specifically, this bill prohibits the Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. Look, there's no chance in hell that this bill would stand up against the Supreme Court, but it is important to talk about it. There's no way. I mean, this bill should be struck down 9-0 if it ever got passed into law. This is nothing more than pandering to the base. This is absolutely unacceptable. I actually have a question. Do we have to stop speaking Spanish because certain words are gender binary? Because I always learned when you have to actually describe a certain, you have to either conjugate a verb or more importantly describe a noun as feminine or masculine, you have to change it in a certain way. So, ele, ella, ella, ella. Hold on a second. We can't do that anymore. So do we have to redo I have to retake Spanish class? I barely learned anything anyway. I know like 7 words. Like all I know is basically biblioteca. And I know it means library. And actually that's one of the exception ones where even though it's masculine, you call it feminine. So that's the only one I remember. It's actually a gender confused word that I know. Anyway, going back to let's play a clip of me on the campus of the University of Oregon where a campus leftist reveals what they believe when it comes to actually allowing jail time if you use the wrong pronoun. This stuff is so important. Really, really important. Play tape.
In California, you can go to prison if you misgender somebody. Oh, yeah. You're okay with that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you think, if I misgender somebody... Okay, so if I go up to somebody and I misgender them, I can face prison time and you're okay with that?
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's the problem.
The problem
is... You're forcing speech.
Is that... Okay, so if you went up to me and you're like, you're a man, if you came up to me and you told me...
Well, I don't want to assume your gender, so I don't know, you tell me.
Okay, well, I abide by she, her pronouns.
Okay.
All right.
And if I say him, I could face prison time in California and you're okay with that. That's forcing speech. That is a form of fascism. That's the problem.
California law allows for jail time for using wrong gender pronouns. Violations can be punishable up to $1,000 or by imprisonment in the county jail for a period not to exceed 1 year. You can get 1 year in jail if you misgender somebody in the state of California. And this individual that I'm assuming is a woman, I'm assuming her gender, that I talked to at the University of Oregon, thought that was perfectly fine. So look, to kind of wrap all this together, the radical left is on a rampage to destroy the language and destroy civil society as we know it. And one of the ways they're trying to do that is, yes, through gender pronouns and gender identity. We just went through all the negatives of the Equality Act, which passed unanimously with House Democrats. I'd like to think a lot of them don't even understand the garbage in the bill, and they don't even understand what's actually in it. And the tyranny of the minority is real. The left panders to these hyper-vocal minorities to try to make themselves feel good while they are disenfranchising basically the rest of the country. The left is a very stoppable force, but they are a committed force of destruction in our country right now. And boy, if you're not worried after reading and listening to all this, you should be. Because there are some things that should not change. Progress for the sake of progress is a bad idea. There are some things that are bedrock institutions, such as the nuclear family, such as language that has proven to work, such as working hard and playing by the rules. These sorts of things should not change, but the left is focused and committed to fundamentally transforming our country at every single turn. Transforming citizenship, transforming language, transforming our borders, transforming our schools, transforming our gender pronouns. And we here at the Charlie Kirk Show are unearthing and identifying it here every single episode.
I want to thank those of you that are supporters that go to charliekirk.com/support to help cover the costs of this show. We do 12 to 14 episodes a week. We try to bring as many as we can commercial free, and we are able to do those commercial free episodes, especially the longer form episodes. Those of you that support us on a monthly basis, we're going to be emailing you about a Zoom call that I'll be doing once a month for our monthly supporters, but allows us to be free from boycotts, to speak the truth, and not have to worry about these coordinated leftist attacks against those of us that dare call out what's happening in our country. So please go to charliekirk.com/support, and thank you for chipping in whatever you can. It helps us tremendously. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Again, get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. Email me your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get engaged, get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. If you want a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, get in the running for that. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. And thank you for supporting our program. Please consider chipping in at charliekirk.com/support. It helps pay for our research team, our travel costs, our production costs, and allows us to bring as many episodes as we can, advertiser-free, away from leftist boycotts. God bless all of you. Thanks so much.